do the 25th, but whatever works at that end of the month.
You could ask us to move to the 28th.
Jerry's gone the 25th.
Okay, so I guess they moved me.
Later, please.
Okay.
And get a list of the ones that are lowering.
I'm sorry. What did you say?
Jerry's gone the 25th. That's why they're...
Oh, I think Jerry was gone the 25th. That's the reason we were trying not to do the 25th. Yeah, okay. So we're trying to do the 28th, so we're all here.
Okay.
I don't know whether you'd be able to get to an agreement or not, guys, but, my thought process is, let's try.
So if I can ask another question.
Sure.
So is Susan, do you have the flexibility to adjust the numbers or?
Well, of course I do, which is why I submitted it to Mr. Williams because, again, I don't just take everything just based on what one person tells me. And it's got a lot of backing to it. But I'm also not going to take 9 or 10 because I know that's wrong, too. And you have a vested interest in that. And so I want to be fair. But, I can't just take feelings. And so I'm not going on my feelings. I don't have skin in the game on this. It doesn't hurt my feelings one way or the other or if it goes a certain way, if I'm pointed out to be wrong. Is what I'm telling you. But I want to be consistent among everybody.
Okay, well, knowing those things, I think she does have some flexibility. I think you can do some. But I think I'm inclined, especially given how many there are, and we've already moved several of these, I'd like to be consistent across the board on how we do this. And we got 22 of them. Right?
Can we go ahead and... Sorry, I'm riling everywhere. Can we share with, I know we have a scheduled meeting today on the 28th, but I mean, in case we end up not agreeing with the assessor's office on value, can we share a schedule with you today for you guys? Because I do think we're talking about cap rate as a main variable determining value here. And
you can share with us whatever you want.
I think the comp set that we're referencing compared to the properties that we're talking about are much further in the future, meaning we own low-income housing tax credit properties that are within the first 15 years. The value is substantially suppressed in those years versus the comp set. Those sales are 15 year plus and beyond. And it's all about the restriction agreements you've agreed to and what is in place currently determining that value. And I think it's a big impact. So, if we can share that with you guys today, we'd be happy to.
Does that
make sense?
Do you want to wait on that? Do you want to talk about it? Just go ahead.
So if I can ask, so on the 28th, mm-hmm. Do you have to make, when does the BOE have to make a decision?
I think by the 31st is the latest we can go. So
that's my only feeling. This time, we don't feel like this is a big deal to us.
No, right? I get it.
And it's a bigger deal to Mark because he has more projects. And
sure.
So we've been working on this continually trying to, so that we could educate. And
if there's something you'd like to present today, guys, it's 11:05. I mean, give
it's us their time.
It's your opportunity to do it. I don't care.
I
just.
Excuse me, but I'm on the 24th at 9:30.
So that's probably going to be
half an hour.
Yeah, it's getting moved.
Mine's the 24th, right?
No, but you're getting changed too.
That's going to get changed.
In order for us to have a full board, we're trying to do it on the 28th.
If it's low income housing.
Okay.
Yes.
Here, what are your passing
Susan too? Does she have to?
So explain to
you. I just want you guys to have these. And the purpose of this is solely to show how the restriction agreements affect value. The properties that Dan and I are here to talk to you about currently sit between years 2 and 3 in that life cycle. So they're very early on. And this second attachment just talks about the capitalization rate for lifetime properties. Those are some old diagrams and share with us.
And the second document has reference to several court cases and stuff, but none of them. There is no, you can research till the cows come home, and there is no exact determination of what the cap rate should be. Okay?
So. But. Sounds like our job up here,
But the document, if you read the documents and you do other deals, which obviously Mark and I have done many other real estate deals all over the country that have cap rates, mostly on market rate stuff, and that's what our bias is about the 6.5 is not realistic. So anyway, what Riley handed.
And I'm hoping that that she may look at that and agree as well. But we will read through this stuff, and from what you're telling me, there's not a lot of case law, or it's all over the place. So it's probably because I get tasked with that among here.
It just says it needs to be higher. It uses substantially higher and those type of languages in it.
And I guess further to that point, there's not many transactions that happen within the first 15-year period of these properties. And that goes back to my point earlier about, you know, when comparing these to other sales, there's not many. And the ones that are compared to are typically beyond year 15.
Somebody doesn't start one of these
and
sell it
If Dan owned a LIHTC property I was not involved with and I wanted to buy it, one, I couldn't buy it fee simple. I can't just buy the real estate. I'd have to buy the company that owned the real estate. I have to agree to all the current guarantees he has in his partnership agreement.
Sure.
I have to sign on to guarantee the event of a tax credit recapture and a variety of other things that add risk to the transaction. And therefore, when you do see them trade in this first 15-year period, they're not valued off cap rate, but if they were, they'd be much higher than even 10-12%. But we just bought one at less than $500,000 for 72 years.
Okay, so big picture here, are you basically saying that the taxes should be smaller in the beginning and grow as the property ages?
Yeah, it should. The cap rate on these properties should trend towards market norm as they age, because as they age, while the real estate, the physical may decline, the restriction agreements start to subside as they get older, and they can be more market driven. There's less restrictions on your revenue. You have less expenses that you're required to have, such as like audit and replacement reserves, things that you're required to do while they're restricted.
Gotcha.
And so for those reasons, it can start to trend towards market cap rates.
But when Riley's talking about it, he's talking about as the restrictions come off, which is 20 plus years out.
Mm-hmm.
Until that point in time, literally, I'm slightly exaggerating it, but hardly any, you cannot trade them.
When did this low-income housing animal rear its head? How many years ago?
It started in 1980.
If I could say something, these properties were not meant during the LIHTC period to generate much real estate tax at all for the county. LIHTC property is there to assist low-income people to be able to live in the county and to be able to afford to live in the county. They bring sales tax to the county, they bring employment to the county, and when you start adding expenses to this type of property, it makes it non-marketable. There is no market for a LIHTC property, as these guys are saying. I have a really good friend that's on the board of the advisory board of the state of Kansas of affordable housing. I've asked him to look into it. Cap rates, this isn't your apartment or this is not commercial property. This is a whole different animal. It is, cannot be compared to an apartment. Where Susan is referring to the article and what she and the Christian County assessor have used in their conversation, those cap rates are based on the sale of the property after it's out of the LIHTC period, not during. So, again,
I get the argument. I mean, you're saying they're much more restricted in their younger years. You can't sell it.
They're just not meant to drive real estate taxes to the county.
And please understand, we have no vested interest in taxes. We just want to do what we're allowed to do and what's fair. So,
when we set them in the past, it was 7.15 on yours, wasn't it? Your old ones, the ones that we did a couple of years ago, the cap rate was set at, I think, 7.15.
The cap rate you used was 7.5%.
Right.
And you and I disagreed at that point on
right,
it.
Right, I remember.
But I looked at your calculations, and it wasn't worth going to appeal.
Okay.
Now it is,
okay.
based on you dropping the cap range, or potentially, Susan, I don't know if you want to know.
Yeah, yeah, okay, well, I do, go ahead.
We're going to have that conversation here.
Yeah, well, and we also want to discuss the cap rate, as Mark just mentioned, but, you know, Fall Creek sits in a very different position than what Mark mentioned about his properties. We were assessed at a $31,000 tax bill when we finished construction, which there's no way it was based off the income approach, which is required by statute. And then this last year, we're at $18,000-ish of a tax bill, which, again, that would be a very, very, very low cap rate to get to that value. Really, if you use, I think, 7.5 cap, you sit at about a $12,000 tax bill. Albeit we're here to talk about an even higher cap rate because we feel it deserves one. So, I mean, I think we're over-assessed currently drastically on Fall Creek, and we need to come down. Mm-hmm.
All right, well, you guys see if you can get to a resolution. If you can't, we'll be happy to try to figure that out.
And again, Fall Creek townhomes, those were all built, it says, in 23, and so those are pretty recent. We didn't really have
much, yeah.
Income numbers, so.
The difference in the income, because it's all regulated,
right,
is it's minuscule on the income that it's going to generate for that individual property. It all comes down to the cap rate.
Okay.
So.
Right.
All right. Well, guys, is there anything else as far as this? I mean, we will consider this when we want
to. If I can ask Susan, you know, we welcome you to talk with Mark because he's very, very knowledgeable and worked on it.
Yeah.
Riley and I, before the meeting, we would also like to have a discussion after you have one with Mark, if just so that.
Of course.
We would like to get to an answer too.
Sure. All right, guys. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll
Thank
table you until
appreciate
the 20.
You guys doing it.
The 28th. Not a problem.
Yeah.
Is it the 28th?
Yes.
Is that at 9 or 1?
Okay.
Is that at 9 or 1? 28th at 1 o'clock.
So we're all going to be here.
I'll tell
you. Everybody.
You can be unless you get to an agreement.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. As to BOE, that was 377 and 380. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
We would make a motion to table until 7:28 at 1 o'clock.
Yes. Thank you.
Have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right.
So everybody, Mark and us, and everybody else is at 1.
That's a Monday?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it has to be at 1. Okay, I'll try. I'm going to go back to the.
We had one more on that page if you wanted to.
Well, I was going to go back to the first page and see if I get a hold of either one of these people.
Okay.
I'm going to go back to the first page, BOE 351. Think we're a telemarketer.
Your call has been forwarded to voicemail. The person you're trying to reach is not available. At the tone, please.
Already left a message.
David?
Yeah.
He's requesting the 7525.
Yeah, but I think if I recall correctly, they put other.
They did. They marked valuation.
They marked valuation. Now, if we can't get a hold of them, I mean, we can go ahead and make a ruling and deny valuation just based on the fact we couldn't reach the taxpayer. But I mean, we could still make a decision. I'm going to try again, BOE 393.